The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter number 12, Texts number 1 and 2. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on October 28th, 2012, in Riga, Latvia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Maitreya Uvacha Iti Te Varnita Chata Kala Akya Paramatmanaha Mahima Vedagarbha Atta Yata Asrakshit Nibhodha Me Maitreya Uvacha Iti Te Varnita Chata Kalakya Paramatmana Mahima Veda Garbhota Yata Lakshan Nibodhame Maitreya Uvacha Iti Te Varnita Chata Kalakya Paramatmana Mahima Veda Garbhota Yatha Sakshin Nibodhame Maitreya Uvacha
Shri Maitreya said
Iti thus Te unto you
Teo
Varnita
Described
Shata O Vidura Kala Akya
By the name
Eternal
Time
Paramatmana
of the Super Soul
Mahima,
glories.
Slava. Vedagarbha,
Lord Brahma,
the reservoir of the Vedas.
Kungs Brahma, Veda reservoirs.
Atta,
hereafter.
Durma.
Yata,
as it is.
Asrakshit
did create
Radhe
Nibodha.
Just try to understand.
Sentius
suppressed.
May
from me.
Translation in
translation by Srila
Prabhupada.
Sri Maitreya
said,
O learned Vidura,
so far I've
explained to you
the glories of the
form of the
Supreme Personality
of Godhead
in his
feature of
Kala.
Now
you can hear
from me about
the creation of
Brahma,
the reservoir
of all
Vedic knowledge.
Text 2.
Sasar
Jagrinda
Tamisram
Atta
Tamisram
Adikrit
Mahamohang
Chamohang
Cha
Tamascha
Jnana
Vrittayaha.
Translation
in purport by
Prabhupada. Brahma first created the nescient engagements like self-deception, the sense of death, anger after frustration, the sense of false ownership, and the illusory bodily conception or forgetfulness of one's real identity. Purport. Before the creation, before the factual creation of the living entities in different varieties of species, the conditions under which a living being in the material world has to live were created by Brahma. Unless a living entity forgets his real identity, it is impossible for him to live in the material conditions of life. Therefore, the first condition of material existence is forgetfulness of one's real identity. And by forgetting one's real identity, one is sure to be afraid of death, although a pure living soul is deathless and birthless. This false identification with material nature is the cause of false ownership of things which are offered by the arrangement of superior control. All material resources are offered to the living entity for his peaceful living and for the discharge of the duties of self-realization in conditioned life. But due to false identification, the conditioned soul becomes entrapped by the sense of false ownership of the property of the Supreme Lord. It is evident from this verse that Brahma himself is a creation of the Supreme Lord, and the five kinds of nescience which condition the living entities in material existence are creations of Brahma. It is simply ludicrous to think that the living entity is equal with the Supreme Person, and one can understand that the conditioned souls are under the influence of Brahma's magic wand. Patanjali also accepts that there are five kinds of nescience, as mentioned herein.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamala Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine.
Srila Prabhupada very nicely points out that the living entity is given all facility. All material resources are offered to the living entity for his peaceful living and for the discharge of the duties of self-realization. The whole world, everybody has been given proper facility for peaceful living and for cultivating self-realization. Why then are people so agitated? Why are their minds so disturbed? Because they're not properly utilizing the facilities they have been given. If they will simply properly utilize the facilities they've been given, to awaken their dormant enlightened consciousness.
Lai atmodinātu sevi snaudošo apziņu.
They'll become peaceful and happy.
Tad viņi būtu mierīgi un laimīgi.
So why aren't people doing it?
Kāpēc cilvēki to nedara?
Because no one has taught them how to do it.
Tāpēc, ka neviens viņiem nav mācījis, kā to izdarīt.
Ignorance begets ignorance, which begets ignorance, which begets ignorance.
Tumsība rada tumsību, kas savukārt atkal tālāk rada tumsību.
This chain of ignorance has to be broken.
Un šī te tumsības vai neziņas ķēde ir jāpārrauj.
Brahmande brahmite konna bhagyavan jīv guru krishna prasade pai bhakti latā bīdž. This is how the chain of ignorance is broken.
Tas ir kādā veidā šī neziņas ķēde tiek sarauta.
After wandering in the Brahmanda, the material universe, through countless species of life, in complete total ignorance.
Kad kāds ir neskaitāms dzīves, klaiņojis Brahmanda pilnīgā neziņā.
Konna bhagyavan jīv, one living entity who is very, very fortunate.
Tā dzīvā būtne, kas ir ļoti veiksmīga.
Receives the seed of bhakti planted within his heart.
Saņem bhakti sēkliņu savā sirdī.
So if one is fortunate to get that bhakti seed, and one nurtures that seed very carefully, by watering that seed, by keeping the weeds out of the heart, then that nescience will be destroyed.
Tad šī neziņa tiks sakrauta.
The original natural nature of the self will become remanifested.
Un tad patiesā sākotnējā dvēseles dāva izpaudīsies.
It's quite interesting in this purport.
Ļoti interesanti šajā skaidrojumā.
It's like the government has the prison already for the, so they're already built for the prisoners when they come.
Tas ir tā, kā valdība jau ir uzbūvējis cietumu tiem cietumniekiem, kuriem būtu jābūt.
So Brahma already had everything in place, waiting for the living entities to
Brahma,
come in.
Brahma visu jau sagatavojis, un viņa visi sagatavojis, un viņš jau gaida dzīvās būtnes.
Self-deception.
Sevis apmānīšana.
Whereby one thinks I am this body.
To, ka es domāju, ka es esmu šis ķermenis.
One doesn't realize I'm an eternal spiritual being, a servant of God.
Cilvēks nesaprot patiesībā, ka viņš ir garīga būtne, mūžīgs Dieva kalps.
Then, along with then, what follows naturally from self-deception?
Un kas dabiskā veidā izriet no šīs te sevis apmānīšanas?
If one thinks I am this body, then they have to become afraid of death.
Ja cilvēks domā, ka es esmu šis ķermenis, tad dabiskā veidā būs bailes no nāves.
If you think that body is you, that male body or that female body, if you think that is you, then you must be afraid of death.
Jūs domājat, ka šis ķermenis, šis vīriešu vai sievietes ķermenis, tas esat jūs, tad jums neizbēgami būs bailes no nāves.
Since the self is eternal, the self doesn't want to die.
Tā kā patība ir mūžīga, un tā šī patība nekad nevēlas mirt.
That's why we avoid death at every single step. We always try to avoid death.
Tāpēc mēs katrā savā dzīves solī cenšamies izbēgt no nāves.
Why do you look both ways when you cross the street?
Kāpēc jūs raugāties uz abām pusēm, tad, kad jūs šķērsojat ielu?
Because you don't want to be hit by a car.
Tāpēc jūs nevēlaties, lai jūs notriec mašīnu.
You ever analyze why you look both ways when you cross the street? Well, my parents taught me to do it. That's true, but why did they teach you to do it? Because they didn't want you to be killed. The point is that we all have this tendency to want to live forever because that is the actual nature of the self.
Mums visiem ir tā būtība ir tā, ka mums visiem ir tieksme dzīvot mūžīgi, tāpēc ka tā ir patiesā dvēseles daba.
But due to this facility of self-deception provided by Brahma, we forget our eternal identity.
Bet tā iemesla dēļ, ka Brahma ir nodrošinājis šo te iespēju, ka mēs varam sevi maldināt, mēs to esam aizmirsuši.
We become very, very afraid of death.
Mēs kļūstam ļoti nobijušies no nāves.
We get very angry if we don't get things the way we want them. From the very babyhood. If the baby doesn't want to get what he wants, he screams. He becomes very, very angry. So all of these things are coming from Brahma. You see. Simply to keep us imprisoned in this material existence. But the spiritual master comes to liberate this, to liberate us from all of this. Therefore, one comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. One should take full advantage of this opportunity. The spiritual masters can liberate us from this material existence. They have potency, they have shakti. Which is coming from Krishna through the parampara system. To liberate us, to illuminate us, to free us from all this misery we're going through. But you have to become humble. You can't remain puffed up and get the mercy. You only get the mercy of being delivered from the misery of this material existence to the degree that you manifest genuine humility. Therefore, Krishna states very clearly in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 34.
Un tāpēc Krishna ļoti skaidri to pasaka Bhagavad Gita 4. nodaļas 34. pantā.
Tadvidī pranipātena paripashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jñānas jñāninas tatvadarshinah. If one wants to know the truth, one should approach the spiritual master.
Lai uzzinātu patiesību, cilvēkam ir jāvēršas pie garīgā skolotāja.
He should inquire how? Challengingly?
Un kā viņam ir jāvēršas pie garīgā skolotāja izaicinājumu?
No, he should inquire submissively.
Nē, ir jāpār pazemīgi.
But now I'm your student. You please instruct me, you see.
Un, ka es sapratu, lūdzu, sniedz man norādījumus.
Not I am coming to defeat you, you see.
Tāpēc, ka es atnāc, lai tevi šeit sakautu.
And you render service also. You offer your obeisances, you inquire submissively, and you render service. These three things. If you will do that, if you approach the spiritual master, you render service, you offer obeisances, and you inquire submissively, then the spiritual master will enlighten you. He will bless you with transcendental knowledge. He will bless you with the path of bhakti, which will take you out of this material existence. Back to the abode of Krishna. Far, far away from the abode of Lord Brahma. As described in this verse. Any questions? Yeah.
Srila Gurudev, what is the process of becoming humble? It's then you're following orders of Gurudev, and this quality come to you, or you have to manifest yourself this quality?
Kādā veidā cilvēks kļūst pazemīgs? Vai pazemība nāk vienkārši tikai tāpēc no tā, ka skolnieks izpild guru norādījums, vai arī kaut kādā savā pašam ir jāizpauž šī pazemība?
So how does one develop humility, the question is? Is it something you have to manifest, or you just follow the spiritual master's order and automatically comes? Work it from both ends. Humble means don't think that you're great. That I know everything. You see? I'm a great personality.
You see?
Don't think that you're great. Be yourself very humble, very lowly and insignificant. Actually, that is one of the six items given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as what you need to do to practice Krishna consciousness. So in that sense, your question is very interesting. Should I just serve the Guru's order, or should I cultivate humility? The Guru is ordering you to cultivate humility. So there's no difference. You understand? Your Gurudev is ordering you to cultivate humility. So by cultivating humility and obeying his order, it's one and the same thing. Is that clear? Anything else?
Krishna Maharaj, скажите, пожалуйста, как сохранить вот это состояние состояние смирения, и когда уже на тебя начинает, допустим, проливаться, со временем ты прогрессируешь и достигаешь чего-то в духовной жизни. И как сохранить это состояние смирения, не возгордиться? Спасибо.
Jautājums ir, kā saglabāt šo te laika ejot, kad tu sasniedz arvien vairāk, kā saglabāt šo te pazemību un nekļūt lepnam. The question is how to maintain this proper sense of humility when by time, by achieving more and more, by learning more and more, how to avoid puffing up.
Yeah.
How to maintain that.
This is a very good question.
It's a good love jautājums.
Because when you're new to ISKCON, it's very easy to be humble.
Because
you don't know anything. Every devotee becomes an authority. Well, you know, you should chant with your right hand, not with your left hand. You should bow down in the temple room. Don't put your book on the floor. Everybody's your authority when you first come in the door. So it's very easy to be humble in the very beginning, you see. But once you get in, you learn the ropes. Yeah, I know to chant with my right hand. I know to bow down at the end of the temple room. I know not to put the book on the floor. You know, then, wow, I really know something now, you see. Here comes a newcomer that, oh, they got to tell them to offer their obeisances, they got to tell them to chant with their beads with their right hand. Now I'm an authority, you see. So the question is, as one becomes knowledgeable, one becomes an authority also. So how do you become humble when you're an authority? It's an excellent question. Actually, it's a problem that has caused the fall down of many a senior devotee in our movement. They became proud of their big position and they fell down. The best way to stay humble is to study Prabhupada's words. Study his arrival prayer when he arrived in the U.S. It's available in many of our publications. I think it's in the Science of Self-Realization. In September of 1965 in Boston Harbor. Prabhupada so humbly presented himself. Here he is, the greatest Vaishnava authority in the history of the universe.
Look,
But yet he is saying, I have no bhakti and I have no bhakti and I have no knowledge. Although I've been designated Bhakti Vedanta, I have no bhakti and I have no Vedanta. He was simply praying, Krishna, you kindly give me the power that my words will have some potency to help these people become your devotees.
Un viņš pazemīgi lūdz, Krišna lūdz dot man spēku, lai maniem vārdiem būtu kāda ietekme, un lai šie cilvēki, kas to dzirdētu, ļoti par taviem baktām.
As soon as someone thinks, you know, I'm a pretty good preacher.
Ja kaut kāds iedomājas, ziniet, es esmu diezgan labs sudinātājs.
They lose their potency.
Viņi zaudē savu spēku ietekmi.
We have many of our book distributors who report to us how they became very proud. Oh yeah, I'm a pretty good book distributor.
Mums ir daudz ziņiem par to, kā grāmatu izplatītāji, kas bija iedomājušies, ka viņi ir ļoti labi grāmatu izplatītāji.
Nobody wanted a book.
Neviens nevēlas vairāk no viņiem grāmatas.
And they helplessly called, Krishna, Krishna, it's only by your potency I can distribute these books. Please help me, Krishna. Then they can distribute so many books.
Bet tiklīdz viņi pazemīgi vērš pie Krišnas un saka, Krišna, bez tavas palīdzības es neko nevaru izplatīt. Lūdzu, palīdz, tā viņi uzreiz var izplatīt.
So many devotees who go on book distributions reported this experience. When they feel themselves helpless and dependent on the Lord, that's when they can effectively distribute books, you see. As soon as they become a little proud and thinking, yes, I'm a pretty good salesman, nobody's interested. So Krishna mercifully helps us become humble as we advance in Krishna consciousness. Because if you're really advancing in Krishna consciousness, you're feeling yourself more and more humble. You see, in the beginning, it's like, and there's four kinds of competence. The first is called unconscious incompetence. You're completely incompetent, but you don't even realize how incompetent you are. And then as you advance more up the competence scale, you come to the point of conscious incompetence. Now you're starting to wake up and realize what a complete, total idiot you actually are. That means you're advancing. So in this way, gradually, by realizing your incompetence, gradually you can become truly competent preacher, truly competent devotee. And here's an insider secret. The more you genuinely feel yourself to be a complete incompetent nincompoop,
un jo vairāk jūs patiesi izjūtat sevi kā pilnīgi nekompetentu,
to that degree you become competent.
Tieši proporcionāli tam jūs kļūstat kompetents.
So try to realize more and more how incompetent you actually are in every conceivable way.
Jebkurā veidā centieties apzināties, apjēgt to, cik patiesībā jūs esat nezinoši nekompetenci.
This will be your becoming mature in your Krishna consciousness.
Un tas padarīs jūs nopieredzējuši Krishna apziņā.
What is the proof of my statements?
Nopiedušāk. Un kāds ir pierādījums manam apgalvojumam?
Lord Chaitanya.
Kungs Chaitanya.
He is the topmost competent person. He is God himself.
Viņš ir viskompetentākā persona, viņš ir pats Dievs.
He said, I have no love for Krishna.
Viņš saka, man nav mīlestības uz Krishna.
I have absolutely zero love for Krishna.
Man ir pilnīgi nulle mīlestības uz Krishna.
Because if I had any love for Krishna, I would die immediately in the pain of being separated from him.
Tāpēc, ja man būtu kaut mazākā gribatiņa mīlēt Dievus uz Krišnu, es nekavējoties nomirtu no ciešanām, ko man rāda atšķirtība no viņa.
The fact that I am maintaining body and soul together in his absence proves I have absolutely no love for Krishna.
Un tas, ka es uzturu ķermeni un dvēseli kopā, tad, kad viņa nav, pierāda to, ka man nav nekādas mīlēt Dievus uz Krišnu.
So if that's Lord Chaitanya's presentation of himself, what is our position? So in this way, try to become a little humble. But be careful of advertising yourself. Yes, I'm pretty humble. One devotee wrote Prabhupada a letter. Srila Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada's response? You're not the most anything. You are simply insignificant. So even when it comes to humility, you have to be careful. You know, I'm pretty humble. That's another pride. Sometimes devotees say, in my humble opinion, I would suggest that one can say, in my puffed up opinion. Next question. Yeah.
Если преданный смиренный, и когда ему дают какое-то более-менее сложное поручение, и он чувствует себя неспособным и незначительным, и он отказывается совершать служение, то как тогда делать?
Как рикотес гадимос, я бактус, когда мечерет пазамикс, он усет, как начинал квалифицировать своих товай цитус, да, он ко виням дод. Как тогда рикотес?
If a devotee is very humble, and he sees himself that he is unqualified to perform this or that duty, and because of that feeling, he says, no, I can't perform this or that, then how to...
That's called cheating. Tell my president, well, can you offer the RT? Oh, I'm not qualified. Can you clean the toilet? Oh, I'm not qualified. Can you wash the dishes? Oh, I'm too contaminated. I can't go in the kitchen. That's called cheating. You see. The thing is, we are not qualified to do anything. Our only qualification is the order we have received from our spiritual master.
Mūsu vienīgā kvalifikācija ir saņemt norādījumus no garīgā skolotāja.
And that is coming down to you through your local temple authorities.
Un šie norādījumi nāk jums caur jūsu vietējo tempļa vadību.
They are representatives of your spiritual master.
Viņi ir jūsu garīgā skolotāja pārstāvji.
Therefore, you should take it as guru's order when you're asked to do something.
Tāpēc jums ir jāuzskat tas, kā jūs kuru norādījums, ja jums kaut ko liek darīt.
Coming down the chain of command. It's like in the military. When your squad leader tells you to advance on the battlefield, you take it as an order coming from the commander-in-chief of the entire military. Isn't it? Yeah. Those who are in the military, they know the principle.
Yeah.
Next question. Yeah.
When someone becomes too humble, they might feel that they are taken advantage of also.
Take what?
Taken advantage of. If someone is too humble, they may feel they're being exploited and taken advantage of.
But if kāds kļūst pārāk pazemīgs, tad viņš var just, ka viņu izmanto.
There's one devotee so humble he'll do whatever he's asked.
Un kāds bhakti ir tik pazemīgs, ka viņš dara visu, ko viņam.
So no one does any service, they just, everyone's asked him to do all the service.
Un, kad neviens nevēlas veikt kādu kalpošanu, tad jautā tikai viņam.
And the poor devotee has no time to chant his rounds properly, has no time to sleep properly. Everybody always asks him to do all the service.
Un šim nabaga bhaktam nav ne laika, ne gulēt, ne apļus skaitīt, jo visi viņam nepārtraukti lūdz kaut ko darīt.
So that can sometimes happen in our movement, that someone is really humble and does whatever they're told. Devotees that take advantage of the unfair advantage of such a devotee.
Jā, tas notiek dažkārt mūsu kustībā, un kāds ir ļoti pazemīgs, un citi bandas to izmanto.
Do not do this. It is highly immoral and unethical.
Lūdzu nedariet to, jo tas ir ļoti amorāli un neētiski.
Every devotee should take, we should share the burden together, you see.
Bhaktām ir jādalam šī nasta kopīgi.
It's like the Ratha Yatra cart. Can you pull it all by yourself? No, it's too heavy. So we have to all get together and pull the ropes together, you see. So don't expect one devotee to do all the service. Don't be so lazy and cruel to do that.
Neziet tik slinki un nežēlīgi un nesagaidiet, ka viens bhakti darīs visu kalpošanu.
Everybody should grab the ropes and pull Jagannath's curb. Everyone should take up some service. We all work together as a family to get the job done. Next question. Yeah.
Вопрос, то есть, вот, служить тему, да, является, вот, если подходит старший, да, и спрашивает тебя, готов ли ты к служению, является ли смирением ответить, да, я готов, но у меня нет качества?
Jautājums ir, ja vecākais bhakti pienāk un jautā, vai tu esi gatavs veikt kalpošanu, vai ir pareizi atbildēt, ja es esmu gatavs, bet man nav atbilstošu īpašību.
In the same regard, if a senior devotee approaches you and asks to do some service, is it a proper way to reply, yes, I am ready, but I'm not qualified?
And that depends.
Tas ir atkarīgs no situācijas.
But actually, the real answer is this.
Paties atbildi šādi.
The more you feel unqualified, that is your qualification.
Jo vairāk jūs jūtaties nekvalificēts, tā ir jūsu kvalifikācija.
Someone says, Prabhu, we need you to give the Bhagavatam class this morning.
Kāds saka, Prabhu, vai jūs varētu vadīt Bhagavatam lekciju
šodien? I've never given a Bhagavatam class. I'm totally unqualified. How could I ever give a Bhagavatam class?
Es nekad neesmu sniedzis lekcijas, es pilnīgi nekvalificēts. Kā gan es to varētu izdarīt?
Your feeling of unqualification or disqualification, that is your qualification.
Jūs sajūt, ka jūs esat nekvalificēts, tā ir jūsu kvalifikācija.
So, if you truly don't know what you're doing, then say, Prabhu, I don't know anything about, you know, someone says, I need you to, you know, need to change the tire on this car back here.
Well, I don't
know the first thing about changing a tire. Can you help? Can you tell me how it's done? Then I'll be happy to try my best.
Jā, bet es nekad neesmu, man vispār nav izpratnes par to, kā to darīt. Jūs varat man pamācīt, tad es labi ar prieku to darīt.
If you truly don't know how to do something, you find out.
Ja jūs patiešām nezināt, kā kaut ko darīt, tad noskaidrojiet, kā to darīt.
Just like Prabhupada one time gave Tejas Prabhu, he says, make me upma. Make me this preparation upma. Prabhupada said, make me upma. He didn't know how to make upma. But he asked somebody how to make upma, and he made it, and Prabhupada loved it. So if you don't know how to do something, then find out how to do it. What is the classic example? Prabhupada. He was given the order to spread Krishna consciousness movement of the English-speaking world. He felt absolutely, totally, completely unqualified to do them.
Prabhupāda saņem norādījumu izplatīt šīs zināšanas angliski runājušajās valstīs, un viņš jūtās pilnīgi nekvalificēts to darīt.
So what was his mood? Well, I can't do that because I'm unqualified. His mood was qualified or unqualified, somehow I have to do this.
Kvalifikēts, nekvalifikēts, bet kaut kā man tas ir jāpaveic.
And by Krishna's grace he did it.
Un ar Krishna's žēlastību viņš to paveic.
What's another example?
Kāds ir nākamais
piemērs? The illiterate Brahmin in the Ranganath temple.
Lasīt neprotošais Brahmans.
What temple?
Ranganath.
Ranganath temple.
He was ordered to read every day 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. The Brahmana was completely illiterate. He couldn't even read one word of Sanskrit. But what can he do? His Guru Maharaj ordered him every day, you have to read the entire book. So even though he was totally unqualified, he was holding the book, and it wasn't a book, it was a written hand-copied manuscript. He was holding the manuscript, he was actually looking over every letter, the whole Gita he was reading, he was looking over the whole thing, he couldn't understand a word of it. But yet he was doing the best he could.
Un tas, ko viņš darīja, viņš turēja manuskriptu savu priekšā, viņš raudzījās uz katru burtu, katru vārdu, lai gan viņš neko nevarēja no tā visu saprast, viņš darīja labāko, ko varēja.
But the devotees are making fun of him.
Bet bhaktis smējās par viņu.
They're saying, just see, he doesn't know how to read and he's reading the Bhagavad Gita. They were laughing. Just see.
Viņš nemāk lasīt, bet tēloja kā, ka viņš mācētu lasīt.
He was the temple, he was like the joke of the temple was, yeah, there's illiterate Brahman, he's trying to read the Bhagavad Gita, ha, 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 ha.
And visi smējās, un viņš bija apsmikls tajā templī, un lasīt neprotošais Brahmans.
But one day, Lord Chaitanya, who was touring South India, he came to that Ranganath temple.
Bet kādu dienu, kungs Chaitanya, kas tad apceroja šo Indijas teritoriju, ieradās šajā templī.
He heard the talk going around about this Brahman who was trying to do that which he was totally unqualified to do because his Guru Maharaj had ordered him to do it.
Un viņš dzirdēja par šo brāmanu, kurš cenšas darīt to, ko viņš ir absolūti neprasmīgs darīt, bet viņš to dara saskaņā savu Guru Maharaj norādījumu.
So Lord Chaitanya approached him.
Un viņš Chaitanya atnāca pie viņa.
He said, Brahmana, I hear that you're reading Bhagavad Gita.
Viņš teica, Brahman, es dzirdu, ka tu lasi Bhagavad Gita.
But yet you're totally unqualified to do so because you're illiterate.
Bet tu taču esi pilnīgi neprasmīgs to darīt, tāpēc, ka tu nemāk lasīt.
How is it this, you're reading Bhagavad Gita?
Bet kā gan tu lasi Bhagavad Gita?
He said, what can I do? My Guru Maharaj has ordered me, I have to read it, so what can I do?
Bet viņš teica, bet ko gan man darīt? Man Guru Maharaj devu tādu norādījumu.
Qualified or unqualified, what can I say? Guru Maharaj has ordered me, I must do.
Kvalificēts vai nekvalificēts, ko gan es varu teikt? Man Guru Maharaj devu tādu norādījumu.
So I'm simply looking over this manuscript. But Lord Chaitanya said, but Brahmana, I see you're not only looking over the words of the Bhagavad Gita, I see you are crying also.
Bet kungs Chaitanya teica, Brahman, es skatos, ka tu ne tikai raugies jo manuskriptā, es redzu, ka tu arī raudi.
My dear Brahmana, how is it you are crying?
Dārgais Brahman, kā tas ir, ka tev asaras līst?
He said, yes, what can I do? They've also given one painting here along with the manuscript.
Giving what?
One painting is here. Just like this painting here, similar painting, you see, that we see here. And the painting, I see how Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna. I can see how much Krishna loves his devotee. He is driving his own devotee's chariot. And when I think about how loving and kind and sweet is Krishna, I cry. And Lord Chaitanya then hugged him. He said, you are the real scholar of Bhagavad Gita. So he didn't consider disqualification a disqualification.
When the Guru Maharaj orders, there is no question of qualification or disqualification. So we'll stop here. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
His Grace Srimad Sankarshan Dasa Tikari Maharaj Ki Jai.